welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 208. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered her talents to do work she loves to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Teresa Wallace. Welcome, Teresa.
Hi, Don. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you, too. Teresa, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
A passionate, emphatic yes every day, all day, Monday through Friday, and weekends.
All right. Well, we can certainly go with that. Teresa Wallace is president of Agility Leadership Coaching and the Sunday Serenity Leadership Coach. New and experienced leaders and entrepreneurs call her when new conditions are threatening their track record of success. The skills that have worked for them in the past don't seem to be getting them the same result. They find themselves stressing instead of resting on Sunday nights, tossing and turning, worrying about the upcoming work week. Okay, Teresa, that's a pithy summary of your career to date. Tell us what you're doing now that has you engaged and excited, if you would.
Thanks. So as I said, everything about what I do excites me. Probably for the first time in my entire work career, it just doesn't feel like work. I'm so excited about it. I enjoy the people that I work with. And I know it sounds really kind of lofty, but I'm changing lives with the work that I do. The people that I work with, they're leaders. They're in corporate America. They're entrepreneurs or small business owners. They're coaches and consultants. And they all have a very long track record of success. They're the best and the brightest. And then something happens. Right? So in corporate, many times they are promoted into a leadership position from an individual contributor position, and they may not have the skills to perform at the new level. With entrepreneurs and small businesses, they started their companies because they have a dream, and then they meet their goals and they start bringing on additional staff, and they find that they have to now convey their vision to the new folks and they have to motivate them. And they might not have the skills to do that. It's a little different motivating other people than motivating yourself. Mm-hmm. And finally, with the coaches and consultants, I have really focused on learning about marketing and sales. And there are a lot of coaches and consultants out there that are really struggling with their businesses. They come to me when they want to know, you know, how do I get my name out there in the marketplace? How do I show up differently? How do I attract clients? Mm-hmm. So it's just, honestly, I probably work more now, Don, than I did when I was in corporate, but it doesn't feel like work because I just love it so much.
Well, your energy is coming through loud and clear. You're obviously having a great time, and that's wonderful. Congratulations on that. So what projects do you have in the offing?
Right now, I have a new product that I'm really, really excited about, and it is based on the research of the Gallup organization about the 10 talents of successful entrepreneurs. The research just hit the market probably a year and a half ago, and you know, we all have specific things that we're really good at, and we do them almost without thinking. Many times, we build our businesses around those talents. But in order to have a successful business, the Gallup research shows us that we need not just one talent, not just two talents, but we need all 10 talents to be successful. Doesn't mean that we have to have them all. It just means that we have to find a way to get those talents in our business. So I am doing my first pilot program here in Atlanta on January 4th and 5th. And I'll take everybody through the entrepreneurial talents assessment so everyone will see what their natural skills are, and then we'll have a full day of coaching to help them get a complete profile of themselves and a roadmap for how they get those other talents in their business. So every time I talk to an entrepreneur about this new program and the research, you know, I just see these affirmative head nods because they all get it. So I'm looking forward to that program. That's my big offering for 2016.
Oh, that's very exciting. Gallup does great work, and that's a much needed program because oftentimes businesses fail or come up short of expectations because of just some little gaps in the skills or talent levels of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And whenever we hear about businesses failing, you know, we hear things like, oh, the market conditions changed or there were supplier issues or things like that. But rarely do we ever talk about the fact that maybe the business failed just because the entrepreneur didn't have the talents to do the job.
Exactly. Exactly. Perhaps weak links on the team. There's a weak player here or there that should either improve those shortcomings or not be on the team at all.
You know, Zig Ziglar, I'm a big fan of his work, always said that successful people make investments in themselves. A lot of times, especially when we're entrepreneurs, we're so busy in the business and we're constantly making investments in our business. But at a certain point, it's really wise to make investments in yourself.
Yes, exactly. Well, I wish you all great success. As you know, everyone's life journey is composed of a series of turning points. Some call them passages. And at these times, we're each faced with obstacles and opportunities and choices that determine the next 6 or 7 years of our lives. Take us back in the Teresa Wallace story as far back as you want to and tell our listeners some of the more memorable turning points in your life.
Sure. Everything in my journey pointed me to this point in time, doing what I am doing right now. And I can see it now clearly, but sometimes when you're in the heat of the moment, you don't recognize it.
Absolutely.
Right? After high school, I'm the first in my family to go to college, and I joined the military so that I could pay for college. Hmm. It's so interesting because while I was in the military, I was an emergency medical technician, right? Nothing to do with what I do now. I was an emergency medical technician. I worked in the emergency room, and I thought that I might want to be a nurse, mm-hmm. but I don't really like blood. So that didn't work out so well.
what branch of the service were you?
Army.
Okay. All right.
So here's where my true talent started to show up. It's around learning. After I finished active duty, I went into the reserves and I ended up being a trainer there. I actually trained other basic trainees on the firing range. So I'm a sharpshooter. Beware, Don.
Oh, my word.
Right. So that's the first time that I recognized that I have a natural gift for teaching.
Back up in the story a second. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get the sharpshooter thing going? I was in the Army too and did basic. And so we had to go to the firing range and all that stuff. Was it real clear early on that you just had a knack for that?
I qualified like that and I practiced and, you know, so I don't know if the role came to me because I was a sharpshooter. I was selected for that role because I was able to motivate other people and teach them.
Okay.
Right? So you don't always have to be able to do it.
Right.
But you do have to have a gift for teaching and motivating other people.
Exactly. Okay, good.
Okay. While I was doing that, I actually got my first job, and my first job was at MCI Telecommunications. I was a customer service representative, and one day my supervisor tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're really good with the customers. We want you to teach all of our other representatives how you do that." So again, it's back to that teaching thing.
Mm-hmm.
And MCI made a lot of investments in me. They sent me out to the AMA and the Train the Trainer program. So I was certified as a trainer. We had a program that we worked with Georgetown University, and they taught us how to be instructional designers. Got many, many promotions, but my promotions were always around learning and development. So instructional design, doing sales training, writing scripts, customer service training. And it just came naturally to me. But Don, I didn't recognize it then. I mean, I was focused on the next promotion, mm-hmm. not necessarily what I was doing well or what my natural gift was. So I was kind of a late bloomer, and that was like my 20s. And then kind of mid-career in my 30s, I was working in corporate America. By that time, I had risen to a fairly high level. But again, always learning and development. And so I was working with a Fortune 500 company. It was a global company, and I was the head of organizational development and learning, and I traveled all over the world teaching their leaders. Uh-huh. And one of the things that really, really kind of drew me in and captured my imagination was when the best and the brightest in the organizations would hit a point in their careers where they'd start to struggle. Usually, like when you started to peel the onion and, you know, do your root cause analysis, a lot of times it was because they had a certain skill set and they had gotten promotion after promotion because of that skill set. Until they finally got to a level where that specific skill set wasn't working for them anymore. Mm-hmm. They needed more skills. And I saw it happen with a lot of engineers, especially the technical folks, right? Because they're promoted because of their technical skills.
Right.
And so I thought at that point, you know, one day I'm going to do something with that. I don't know what, but one day I'm going to do something with it. Mm-hmm. And then I just started not being happy in corporate America anymore. And it wasn't what I was doing. It was just where I was doing it, I think. There was something else that I was supposed to be doing. And so it's so funny, Don, because I started, instead of looking for the next promotion at a larger company, I started looking for opportunities in smaller companies that were more entrepreneurial so that I could do a lot more things.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is. My friends, especially my like super duper high profile executive friends were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm not really sure, but it just feels right for me. And I kept doing it.
How did you put your toe in the water for the smaller companies when you're coming from these Fortune 500, 100 companies? What were the steps you took?
Well, so usually networking, and if they had an opportunity all of those roles were roles at smaller companies, more entrepreneurial, but Don, they didn't have anything in place.
Right.
So I could go in and I could build it from scratch. Okay. And I didn't always have those opportunities when I was with the much larger companies, but that was what was engaging for me.
Yes.
And so they were happy to have me and I was happy to be there.
Yeah, exactly. So did you just strike out as a consultant?
No. I left the much larger company and then I took some time off and then I landed. So my company got a large company. It was a $12 billion company. And it was a division of a much larger company and it got sold off. When it got sold off, they offered a bunch of their senior leaders packages. I took a package and I stayed home for almost a year. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do or what I wanted to do. And I knew I couldn't keep doing the same thing. And so I ended up at a smaller company and it was a high growth healthcare company. And small is all relative, right? So it was $100 million company,
right,
but
right.
Coming from a $12 billion company, it was much smaller.
Yes.
And I was working with doctors and so like I'd seen earlier in my career, they were put in a leadership position. They were great at their technical skills, being a doctor, being a specialist, but they were struggling with the leadership stuff. And it was so funny because I'd go in and I'd meet with them and I'd do training classes for them. And I was always so excited when I would hear, wow, Teresa, nobody ever taught me that. Now, remember, these are doctors, so the best and the brightest and the smartest. Nobody ever told me that.
Right.
We didn't learn this in medical school. Wow, I wish somebody had told me this like years ago and I wouldn't have struggled.
Right.
And so I'm just kind of storing this away in the back of my mind. Like if it's happening with them, it's happening to lawyers, it's happening to accountants. I had already seen it happening to engineers.
Right.
And I just, you know, so I just knew. So in 2012, I got married and my husband's job took us to Hawaii. We decided, okay, you know, it's time for you to start your company. And that's what I did. And So I'm still plugging away at it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Wow, what an incredible story. What a story with so many positive outcomes for everybody involved. You and the clients and their companies are benefiting greatly because of this journey that you've taken. Well, let me throw out the question, speaking of Gallup and their entrepreneurial program. As you well know, they've done surveys of worker satisfaction at all levels of the work level from the workplace, from executives to others. And the statistics are pretty clear that most people are not in what I call their sweet spot mm-hmm. around the world. They're not using their talents. Their careers are not in sync with their values. Many of them are doing just fine, but they're not really optimizing who they are and what they want. What do you think that's about?
I think we just get comfortable. And, you know, I see it a lot with the clients that I work with. Many of them are not using their talents every day, but they're comfortable where they are. Striking out on your own or doing something different, it's very scary. And a lot of times too, Don, just like, you know, in my story, my talents, people other than me recognize my talents long before I ever did. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I think that people just, they're not clear about what their talents are. Mm-hmm. And that's why working with a coach can be so beneficial. And, you know, my grandparents told me from a very, very young age, find something that you love doing and back a career into it, and it won't feel like work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great advice for everybody. Just find something that you love doing. And I mean, as I go out and I meet other entrepreneurs, like, I'm always amazed at the kinds of businesses they start. It just boggles the mind, but they're passionate about it. And it might not be a fit for me, but they found their tribe and they have made it a huge impact in their tribe.
Exactly.
Find something you love doing and back a career into it.
So how would you, it's very sage advice. What would you say to people that are locked in and are on that track, oftentimes like the track you were on? They have so many financial obligations. They have so much invested in this particular area.
Yeah.
Everybody's situation is different, but how could they make stepwise either internal changes to get to do more of what they want to do internally like you did, or external changes where they make a wholesale switch in their career? How would you advise them to handle that? What steps would they take?
So there's a very simple coaching exercise that I do with some of my clients when they're thinking about their next step, and whether that next step is a new role in their current organization or another organization or kind of branching out on their own. And I have them create a checklist and answer a couple of questions. And first is, thinking about your current role right now, what do you like about it? What do you tolerate about it? And what do you love about it? And then if they're thinking about an internal role, we want to try to find something. Like, look at that love list. So whatever that next role is, let's try to make sure that those things are in the new role. Otherwise, you're going to be unhappy. So may I give you an example of a conversation
yes.
I had recently?
Yes, please, please.
Okay. So I'm working with an engineer, and they were looking at the next level in their career. So a jump to a senior management role. And so we did that exercise. And what this engineer actually loved, which is very unique, and their specific talent was coaching and developing their team. That's what they loved doing. And what they hated, what they disliked when we did the list was meetings. Meetings for the sake of having meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So when I asked about the role that they were thinking about pursuing, I asked a simple question. How much time are you going to be spending with your team versus in meetings in this new role? And it was like a light bulb went off, right? I'm going to be spending all of my time in meetings. Exactly.
Right.
So what are some ways, you know, is that really the right role for you? Or should you kind of think about some other opportunities where you're going to have the thing that you most love doing in your work in the role?
Exactly. Basic, isn't it? But
it is.
Again, it's right there in front of them, but it's just so close they can't see it.
Yeah. And a lot of times, Don, we get caught up in the momentum, right? You can't imagine how many people I work with who say, I don't know how I got to this place because it wasn't where I wanted to be. But they got caught up in promotion after promotion after promotion after promotion. And who's really going to turn down a promotion?
Exactly. That's amazing, isn't it, that they would say that?
Exactly. But it's like, you know, the light finally comes on, the angels sing, and, you know, I love it when my clients have those sorts of epiphanies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's better that it happens at, you know, fairly early on than at the very end of life.
Where, yeah, exactly.
Where people say, what was I thinking? How could I have not made different choices, you know?
Exactly.
So what have been the most palpable benefits in your life to you chiseling out a path, oftentimes the road less traveled, and doing what you really care about and love?
If I could have a home with like every room filled with books, mm-hmm. I would be in paradise. And so because of the job that I've chosen, the career that I've chosen, I actually get to learn every single day because people pay me to be an expert. Yes. So I need to constantly go out and research and find new information so that I can make sure that I'm giving my clients what they need and what's most relevant and all of the new research. So it's just a perfect, perfect fit for me, this job that I'm in, this job that I've created.
Excellent. Excellent. And then overall in the quality of your life and how you get to live your life, how does that work? How does that look?
When you're an entrepreneur, and this is the third year of my company, and it's really at the turning point right now, but you work a lot, right? People don't really tell you that. You know this, Don. You work a lot. But again, it's different than when I was working in corporate. Like I put in the same amount of hours in corporate, but I was unhappy. Now I put in the hours and it doesn't feel like work. So I'm doing what I love. I'm helping people that I care about, and I'm changing lives, and I'm doing it for me. There's another quote that I heard, and I can't remember who this is from, but they said, you know, get busy building your dream or somebody else will hire you to build theirs.
Yes.
Right? So yes. I am building my dream. And you always say, I'm so enthusiastic and I'm trying to scale it back, but I can't.
No, don't scale it back. Along this fascinating journey, have there been books and other resources that you'd recommend to listeners that you have been meaningful to you?
Yes. So a million, right? Because, you know, I read a lot of books. But the one that I am reading, I don't know. It's all bookmarked and earmarked, and it's No BS Direct Marketing, and it's a Dan Kennedy book.
Okay.
As I work with entrepreneurs and I work with coaches and consultants, what I find is the biggest opportunity for them, and I had to learn this through trial and error, was how to market, like how to be yourself and how to show up differently in the marketplace. Because, you know, in corporate, we don't really show up differently. There's a way that you do things. Mm-hmm. But when you're an entrepreneur or a coach or a consultant, if you show up like everybody else, then, you know, how do I know to work with you? What's so great about you? This book, I recommend it to everybody who is trying to grow their business or create a brand in the marketplace. And it's amazing because it helps you to think about it differently. Like with the coaches and consultants I work with, one of the things I do is look at their marketing materials. And I promise you, if I see one more piece of a marketing material that says, I help you live your dream, I will scream, because that doesn't really tell your client about the transformation that you help them go through or how you get there. And what this book does, No BS Direct Marketing by Dan Kennedy, is help you focus on crafting messages that make sense to people other than you.
Right. I love that. Well, we've talked before about the internet. Tell us how you use this amazing thing called the internet.
So, so this year for me, all different. I do a blog every Sunday night. So remember, I'm the Sunday Serenity Leadership Coach. So I post my blog on Sunday nights to hopefully give people tips, techniques, tools that they can use so that they're resting, not stressing on Sunday night because they have something to help them get ready. I've learned about all of these great marketing tools like lead pages, and I'm an Infusionsoft user. So I mean, the tools are out there. You just have to research them. And once you have them up in place, they just make your life so much easier. So here's one that I just learned about, and I love it. And it's called BuzzSumo, S-U-M-O.
Okay.
And so before I write my blog, I go out to BuzzSumo and I put in like leadership, or this week it was goal setting. And BuzzSumo will pop up like the most popular articles that have been written around that topic.
Ah, great.
Exactly. So once you see that, you can put backlinks in it in your article to that, or you know how to create your compelling title so that because you know what people are interested in. So this week, my blog was about goal setting. The whole month of December is about goal setting because it's that time of year. And I posted it on LinkedIn, and I had so many people review that. And I even had a friend call me and say, like, you're like a star on LinkedIn. And that's never happened before, but I've never used BuzzSumo.
Oh, my gosh. So it's just Buzz and then S-U-M-O?
Uh-huh.
Wow, excellent. That's a great idea. Tell us what you see happening for you going forward in the next handful of years. What's your vision?
So I have four things I want to do.
Okay.
I would like to be, I will, I'm not going to say I'd like, I will make the Inc. 500 fastest growing company. I will do a TED Talk. I will be Marketer of the Year with Infusionsoft and GKIC. And finally, and most importantly, I will create a coaching program and process that changes the lives of millions of people.
Wow. Okay. Well, bravo for that. I think you're going to have to get even less sleep.
I know, if that's possible.
So what are you, those are wonderful goals. What are you proudest of?
For me, it is just making up my mind to do it and making it happen. You know, making it happen every day, because every day is not easy. And when you're an entrepreneur, it goes up and down. You have good days and you have bad days. And you just have to put one foot in front of the other and just keep going. And I'm proud that I just keep going every single day.
Yes, yes. Well, Teresa Wallace, what a great pleasure being with you today. We so appreciate you sharing the highlights of your fascinating life journey. And I know that our listeners have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do those listeners connect with you?
So please visit my website, www.agilityleadershipcoaching.com. Opt in for a free strategy session with me. I do a 45-minute complimentary session that includes two assessments and three strategies to get you back on track. And I would love to connect with you.
Excellent. Excellent. Listeners know that you can go to Discover Talent Podcast, to our podcast section, obviously, and find Teresa Wallace in that list and find the summary of this fine interview along with those links. So please take advantage of that. Thank you for joining us, listeners around the world today. We have listeners all over the place as we've been doing this 7 months now, and we've got listeners in every major country, I think. So thank you for joining us. You know that we do an ebook, What the Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed, 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love, which are lessons from the great men and women, leadership coaches, masters, developmental people. And we've had great feedback on that. It's free, and we hope you'll take advantage of it. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like our content and our interviews, we'd love to have you be a part of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.